Wake up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH, or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, so is it just me? Is it just me? Am I the only Christian that struggles with maintaining my composure when the political world just, you know, spits in your face? Am I the only one? Because now, you know that my wife and I, Gina and I, were on our 25th wedding anniversary trip last week. We were in Maui. That was awesome. God blessed it. It was an incredible experience. But while that was happening back here in North Carolina, a little thing that a lot of you probably assumed had been put to bed, the bathroom bill controversy, HB2, the original bathroom bill, and that started out of the city of Charlotte, and that whole battle, which was not just here in North Carolina, but became a nationwide issue, and in fact became a worldwide issue, and then the legislature acted, and you get a new governor in, Roy Cooper, who's an ultra-liberal dude, and you think you've got that, you know, somewhat on a back burner, but last week, on October 9th, this is from LifeSite News, and I've got a really good friend and just a warrior for Christ that I'm going to bring on here in just a second. Here it is, North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper. So this happened October 19th is when this story was, okay, last week. North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper signed an executive order making sexual orientation and gender identity or expression protected classes, forcing businesses to allow men in women's restrooms and vice versa. The order applies to employment in state government and the provision of government services, including programs and services concerning public safety, health, and welfare. In order to be awarded a state contract or grant, this is where it gets really nasty, a business will have to comply with the pro-transgender order. Public facilities must allow men to use women's restrooms in accordance with their quote-unquote gender identity. Here's what Roy Cooper, our so-called governor, had to say. Earlier this year, I said there was more work to do to protect against discrimination, that's how they always play that, and make North Carolina a welcoming state. As if we weren't. Cooper said, today's executive order and consent decree are important steps towards fighting discrimination and enacting protections throughout state governments and across our state, blah, blah, blah. But then Tammy Fitzgerald, who's the executive director of North Carolina Values Coalition, called the Democrat governor's order a massive power grab with sweeping changes that only the legislative branch has the authority to enact. So let's go straight to the source with our friend Tammy Fitzgerald. NC Values Coalition, an incredible organization here in North Carolina, fighting the good fight of faith for truth and for every family, whether the family appreciates it or not. Tammy, how are you?
Good. It's so great to be back with you, Steve.
Always great to have you on, and thank you so much for your tireless work and your sacrifices, both you and your husband and everybody at NC Values Coalition. Okay, let's try to calm me down a little bit. I'm sure you're pretty upset about this as well. So kind of give us the update. Where did this come from? Why did it happen? And what can we do about it at this point?
Well, it came out of the blue, actually. The governor negotiated what he called a settlement last spring on HB2, which was House Bill 142. He agreed to it. He signed it into law. And it really just put things back to square one. It put things back like they were before Charlotte passed the ordinance, before the legislature passed House Bill 2. And that was the status quo for, you know, hundreds of years, that men used men's bathrooms and women's used women's bathrooms. But now the governor has signed this executive order, which repeals the compromise he himself negotiated as it pertains to agencies in the state that he has jurisdiction over. And so the business leaders and the legislative leaders who negotiated in good faith with the governor have been betrayed. But more than that, the people of North Carolina have been betrayed, because he's attempting to push down the oppressive arm of government a new ordinance or a new regulation that's going to open up the bathrooms again. But more than that, it's going to impact private businesses and people who receive government benefits.
Yeah, that was going to be my question for you, Tammy. And we don't have a great connection right now, so just make sure you're speaking right into the phone. That would be helpful. But who all does this affect? Because the governor can't come in here and affect private businesses, but he's affecting a large swath of the population in North Carolina with this quote-unquote ordinance, which is really just an end game, because the liberals almost never can win in a public battle in terms of us, the voters, when we get informed and we start electing the right people. They always lose. That's why they have to use judges and they have to use end-around maneuvers here, because a decent amount of American folks still have their minds about them and don't go down this kind of insane road. But who does this affect, what Cooper has done here with the ACLU?
Well, of course, he's doing this, Steve, because he can't get a bill passed through the legislature that would actually open up any bathrooms to the opposite sex. He's doing this by executive order, which is him himself, King Cooper, deciding to impose his will on the people. But, yeah, it mainly applies to state agencies that are controlled by the governor himself, which would be benefits coming out of the Department of Health and Human Services, out of the Department of Administration, and most of the executive agencies under state government. And it applies to employment practices. So people who are hired, who are employees or who get fired, now are going to be subject to rules of employment that give people who are homosexual or transgender a preference. And if someone, for instance, is fired because they don't show up for work 5 days in a row, they could claim that they were fired because they were transgender and sue the state government. It's going to impact people who contract with the state. These are businesses, private businesses, provide services to the state for money. And now those companies, in order to keep their government contract, or companies that want a new government contract, are going to adopt internal policies in their company that mirror the state government's policy on not just bathrooms, but employment, other issues.
Yeah, because the state government, well, let me just jump in there right quick, Tammy, and then we're going to hit a break and then we'll keep talking about it. But the state government can use the power of the dollar, those contracts and even grants. They use that and say, hey, listen, if you want all this money, if you want this contract, if you want this, you're going to have to play ball our way. So that way they do dip into the private sector and start to harass them using the dollars that the private business has earned via contract, right?
Yes, and these issues have nothing to do with the good services provided by
right.
these contractors.
Right, nothing to do with it. It just has to do with our crazy liberal governor and the liberal left who are enacting their crazy worldview on all of us via a judicial fiat. Once again, Tammy, I want to put you on hold. We're talking to Tammy Fitzgerald, NC Values Coalition, about the bathroom bill. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio, talking about a big deal. Once again, the liberal left, under the guise of representative government, ha ha ha, our governor here in the state of North Carolina. Now, listen, if you're listening to the show and you're down in Florida or out in Oklahoma or over in Ohio, wherever you may be, you think, oh, this is a North Carolina thing. I don't need to worry about it. No, no, no. This is a statewide, nationwide, worldwide issue. Because it's all part of this quote-unquote transgender movement. It's all part of the sexual anarchy movement. We saw it happen with marriage. Now we're seeing it with gender. You can bet your bottom dollar that man-boy love association and statutory rape laws, all that kind of stuff. All that stuff's going to be on the table. It's all on the table. Because that's what happens when the world goes crazy, rejects biblical truth, and becomes insane. You go, okay, what is insanity? Insanity is being out of touch with reality. Well, what is reality? Reality is that which is true. Well, what is truth? Well, now you sound like Pontius Pilate. And truth has his name, and his name is Jesus Christ. That's where truth comes from. That is reality. And when you shuck that off, you know what you get? Take a look around. You get stuff like what we're talking about today with Tammy Fitzgerald. Tammy, thanks again for being a part of the show and being involved and leading us down this road. So tell us a little bit more about what we can do with Roy Cooper and what he's done here with the ACLU. Because I thought I read somewhere the judge presiding over the case has to agree to the terms, yada, yada, yada. But what do you think is actually going to happen here? What can we do about it? And then I want to turn the corner and talk about local politics.
Well, there are two different actions involved here. One is the executive order issued by the governor. And in the immediate future, there's not much that can be done except filing a lawsuit against the state and the governor. And so we're going to be looking for people who are harmed by his executive order so they might turn around and be plaintiffs in a lawsuit. But the consent decree, which the governor and the attorney general entered into in the lawsuit on House Bill 142, is an attempt to really go around the people of North Carolina. The attorney general has refused to enforce House Bill 142 and instead has capitulated and basically settled the lawsuit, saying that they would allow men into women's bathrooms and people can use whatever bathroom they identify with. So that's part of the action that the governor took. What people can do right now is call the governor's office and express their dismay, their
outrage.
Frustration with, yeah, how the governor has betrayed the people here after he entered into a settlement with the legislature, and how he's just dredging up this old issue again that people won't have behind them. So I would suggest people make a phone call. In the coming days, we'll have a petition that people can sign to the governor at ncvalues.org. And so people are encouraged to sign the petition, which will then send him an email expressing their dismay over what's happened.
Right. Now, of course, Ground Zero for HB2 started in Charlotte, and NC Values, and you're on your way to Charlotte right now, NC Values Coalition, getting involved in local politics there, and this is a lesson for all of us, whether we live in Charlotte or not, the importance of local politics and what can happen when we engage. So kind of bring us into the what's going on there in Charlotte, because this is where the whole bathroom bill controversy in North Carolina started anyway, about the mayoral race, the city council race, and Christians getting involved with politics locally. Take us into that world, Tammy.
Now, like most Christians, the NC Values Coalition hasn't been involved in local elections until this year. And we just began to realize that this whole issue about bathrooms and the transgender issue is originating at the local level, not at the state level. And it came out of Charlotte last year. And so this year, there are local elections for a new mayor, a new city council, a new school board here in Charlotte. And what we saw was that the last time people elected these officials, there were only 14% of the voters in the city who actually came out to vote. And so what they got was a bunch of liberal mush that came after the election because they didn't show up to vote. And even though Charlotte has twice as many registered liberals as conservatives, it's all about voter turnout in the city of Charlotte. And so we have been working on the local elections here for the last several months. We have people on the ground knocking on doors. We have produced a church video to encourage people sitting in the pews on Sundays to get out to vote, what the importance of voting is, what the city of Charlotte could look like. And yet it's been taken over by this fringe element. We're doing some digital campaign ads for the mayoral candidate, Kenny Smith, here to try and help him get elected because he shares our values.
Yeah.
And then we've got Pledge to Vote cards that are being passed out in the pews of churches where Christians across the city are being asked to vote. You know, this is a city full of churches. In fact, one of the main roads here is called Providence. And there was a Declaration of Independence signed in this county long before the one that you and I know about was signed. It was called the Mecklenburg Declaration.
Yep, I remember that.
And it declared freedom from England primarily for the purpose of Christians pursuing their religious freedom, being able to exercise their religious beliefs. And so this is hallowed ground in Charlotte. I mean, God has a purpose for this city of Charlotte. And I do believe that He is starting a sort of a movement here among the people of Charlotte to return to the principles that God established in this city. And so the Mecklenburg Declaration was the historical background, the backdrop for all of this, but the people of Charlotte are going to have to rise up during this election and take their city back and return to God. And
Well, and let me just jump in there.
One way to do it.
Yeah, let me just jump in there because Here's what happens is people sit there and think, and conservatives and Christians just start thinking, well, it's all too far gone. I mean, I've been down this road myself, and forget it. We can't win anyway, blah, 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 blah. But you mentioned the numbers in Charlotte, and I want to bring people back to this because I think this is such an important issue for us to realize. And some of the richest liberals in America over the last 10 years have stopped spending their money on the federal level, and they've started spending it on a state and local level because they realize politics really is bottom up. So you've got, on a national level, 50% of Christians are registered to vote, 25% vote in a presidential election, 12% vote in an off-year election, and only 5% vote in a primary. And in a city like Charlotte, which is a large market, the numbers are horrific. So it doesn't really take a whole lot of Christians or a whole lot of churches getting involved to make a difference. And I think most Christians just don't understand that. They sit there, we can't win. Yes, we can. Even with common core stinking government school math, it doesn't take a whole lot to figure out. It doesn't take a lot to move the needle on a local level. Am I right on that, or am I wrong?
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, in Charlotte, if we just had 5,000 more people cast votes on Election Day, the people who have Christian values would be elected. Now, in a city of a million people, that's not many. So people need to realize that they have the best chance of getting their candidates elected at the local level, because the participation is so low. And if Christians would just get off the pew and go to the polls and vote, we could control the result of every election in this country, and we wouldn't have the problems that we're seeing now.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, I'm going to put you on hold one more time, Tammy, because I want to ask you after the break specifically real quick for our listeners in Charlotte, because we have listeners in Charlotte. I want you to give them a real challenge, a real call to action. So we'll do that with Tammy when we come back. We're trying to get a hold of Justin Reeder, who runs Love Life Charlotte, an incredible pro-life organization who's trying to help with this effort, but really trying to eliminate abortion in Charlotte. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio, talking about some local politics now. And we're talking to Tammy Fitzgerald from NC Values Coalition, who's a great friend. I've been watching Tammy. I've partnered with Tammy out there on the streets and fighting for the truth of God's word in the public arena. Because, listen, here's the deal. You know, should Christians be involved in politics? Let me ask you a different question. If Christians shouldn't be involved in politics, what other areas of your life do you divorce your Christianity from? What other areas do we just say, yeah, no, not going there? No, sorry, that doesn't fly. Now, for two reasons. This is my simple biblical theological basis for staying involved in the political arena. Number one, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. We are ambassadors for the gospel. You can't be an ambassador if you don't engage, right? Number two, love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, Jesus said, they asked him, what's the greatest law? What's the greatest commandments? They're trying to trick him, and he says those two. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, how you think, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commands. Love your neighbor as yourself. So whether your kids are homeschooled or your neighbor's kids are homeschooled to go to public school or private school, whether they're believers or not, whether they're Hindus or not, whether they're Muslims or not, Jesus says to your face, love them as if they're your own. And so I've stayed involved in politics and got involved with the public school system here in Raleigh, even though we've homeschooled all of our kids 15 years plus now, because I'm supposed to love my neighbor as myself. And guess what? As a follower of Christ, over time, he's softened my heart enough that I actually do love my neighbor like myself. And so I care what happens to everybody in America. Everybody in America is affected by the political system. Therefore, how can I not engage something which affects everybody? Okay, there you go. You want to write that one down or send me an email. I'll spell it out for you if you need to remember that. Steve@c2atoday.com. Let's jump back real quick to Tammy, who's on her way down to Charlotte. So specifically for our friends that are listening in Charlotte, Tammy, and again, thanks for taking the time to be with us. I know how busy you are. Just kind of give them a call to action and tell them what they can do to get involved in trying to swing this election, which is only going to take about 5,000 solid Christians to get out there and vote. Tell them what they need to do, like, right now.
Well, Steve, what we're encouraging them to do right now is go vote. Early voting has started, and it will be going on until next Saturday. So they can vote early right now. November 7th is Election Day. They can vote on Election Day if they fail to vote early. But we actually made endorsements in this race for Kenny Smith for mayor, Parker Keynes and John Powell for city council. At large, Pete Gibbons for District 2, Daniel Herrera for District 3, Tariq Bokhari for District 6, and Ed Briggs for District 7. And what we have encouraged our people to do is what we call our 10-10-10 campaign. That's where 10 people find 10 other people who will pledge to vote, and those 10 find 10 other people who pledge to vote.
Yeah.
You've got 1,000 votes right there if you just start with 10 people. So all we need is 5 groups of those 10 people, and we think that this election will swing in the direction of the values that we all share as Christians.
Yeah, that's right. And there's like 1,000 churches in the area down there, so this is simple math. But it's still, don't sit around and wait for somebody else to do it. If you're listening on the Truth Radio Network down in Charlotte in AM or FM, this is a call to you. You have the information now, so you're held accountable for it, and you need to do something about it. So, Tammy, we'll definitely have you back on before November 7th. I've shared the website on my Facebook page. I'll continue to do that, and I'll get those recommendations out as well. But tell us again what the NC Values Coalition website is, and we'll make sure we send people there as well.
Thank you, Steve. It's ncvalues.org, and all the information is there. So thank you so much for having me on your program today, and I encourage everyone to get out and vote, whether you live in Charlotte or another city.
Yeah, anywhere else. That's right. We got to engage, especially locally. Tammy, God bless you. Thanks so much for calling in.
Thank you, Steve.
You're welcome. We'll talk again real soon. Okay, so we'll turn the corner, and somebody that's in Charlotte that's not only engaging the political arena directly and indirectly, but I think even more important, the arena for life. And a bunch of people have been telling me about you, Justin, for months now. Justin Reeder is the founder of Love Life Charlotte, lovelifecharlotte.com. And God got a hold of you and your wife and just used you to birth another movement down there to try to end abortion in the Charlotte area. Justin, how are you, man? Thanks for calling in.
Doing good, man. Thanks so much for having me on.
It's great to have you on. Yeah, when the lieutenant governor calls me and says, hey, there's this crazy dude like you that you need to meet, I tend to pay attention. So anyway, let's talk about, because I know you guys, because, you know, you got a lot of Christians involved, and I know you're trying to help Tammy in that effort in any way you can down there in Charlotte, because, you know, we know that we're fighting in the spiritual realm here, and you are going to talk a lot today about prayer and fasting as we engage the abortion issue. But abortion obviously is part of the political arena too. So thank you so much for helping out and using your influence down there for what Tammy was just talking about. But tell us about Love Life Charlotte and how it got started. And this is just kind of for everybody to know, this will be a introductory conversation and kind of a beginning of our relationship here on the radio, but we'll definitely have Justin on more in the future and talk more about Love Life Charlotte. So we'll do a condensed version today, Justin, but go ahead and just start telling us about how this started and what you guys are doing.
Yeah, just to try to give you the quick story. So I'm a business guy here in the city. I've owned a business here for 12 years, but very simply put, I just got my heart broken over this issue, and I had some other business friends that invited me out to the local abortion clinic here in Charlotte. And that's when I learned what I call the tragic truth about Charlotte, that abortion is the leading cause of death in our city. We have the largest abortion clinic in the Southeast right here in our backyard. And like you said earlier, and we have 1,000 churches, more churches per capita than anywhere else in the nation. And so that just struck me. That struck me. I actually been doing business with a company right across the street from the abortion clinic and never knew this place ever even existed. And so my heart broke when I encountered that and got involved with some pro-life stuff, started taking my pastor and some other people out there to pray. But it wasn't until a couple years later, the end of 2015, my wife and I were seeking the Lord and just asking the Lord, what's kind of the next phase of our life? We knew we were called to keep the business, but continuing to do ministry work. And that's when the Lord spoke to me through a time of prayer, said, I've called you to the least of these, and I've called you to be a voice for the voiceless. And literally over the course of a week, God started waking me up in the middle of the night, downloading a strategy and a plan to my heart, which is our mission now, Love Life Charlotte, is to unite and mobilize the church to create a culture of love and life that will result to an end to abortion. We believe that God has called the church to shape the culture. Politicians and legislation will follow the culture.
Yeah, that's right.
We're creating a culture where families stop running to Latrobe Drive, stop running to our local abortion clinics, and begin running to the local church. That's the shift that we're after. And it's just been an incredible journey. We've only been doing this for a year and a half. We've had over 100 churches partner with us. We've had Now over 17,000 people mobilized to the abortion clinic for our prayer walks on Saturdays. And the greatest number, though, is we've seen now over 770 families choose life.
Amen.
At the abortion clinic in the last year and a half.
Wow.
And also, a really cool number is on Wednesdays and Saturdays, the 2 days of concentrated prayer in our city. Every Wednesday is our day of prayer and fasting. We have seven churches today all across our city praying and fasting for this. On Wednesdays and Saturdays, we've seen a 70% drop in abortions at this abortion clinic.
Wow. See?
And it's just the whole thing of, man, when light shows up, darkness has to leave.
Well, when you're
seeing Jesus with us.
That's right. When you started talking about that, and you and I have very similar paths, and we'll talk about that offline sometime. But yeah, the first thing you mentioned, and I want to talk about the four steps that you guys are doing. I've spent some time on your website today, lovelifecharlotte.com. LoveLifeCharlotte with two T's .com. And when you say, you know, this is my dream as well, and I know this is the Lord's desire, that when a girl of any age finds herself pregnant, doesn't want to be pregnant for whatever reason, she goes, oh my gosh, you know, this is horrific. My the father doesn't want to help me. My family doesn't want to help me. I need to find a church as quick as possible. I need to get to a church because those are the only people that are going to take me in without guilt and shame. They're going to love me. They're going to care for me. They're going to help me make a decision. And even if I, in keeping this baby, they'll help me with that. I mean, you know, that's the Lord's desire for the church to be that beacon of love and compassion. And so I really appreciate you saying that. Tell us about the four steps, Justin, at Love Life Charlotte, because I think this is really important, and it reminds me of Jesus and the disciples, and they're like, hey, we couldn't cast the demon out of this guy. And he's like, yeah, well, that one only comes out with prayer and fasting, and I just don't think we've had the wherewithal in the past or the commitment to do the prayer and fasting necessary, but you see it working down there. Tell us about the four steps.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so there's four steps in our journey that we take all of our partnering churches through. We want them to hear, pray, go, and connect. The hear piece is the education piece, really understanding what is happening right here in our backyard. Again, what we call the tragic truth about Charlotte. We got to be educated about it first. And then we call people to prayer and fasting. We believe that when we fast, when we pray, it fuels our faith and it aligns our hearts with the Father's heart. And so every Wednesday, we call our partnering churches to pray and to fast with us on Wednesday. And then on Saturday is the go piece. And that's where we say, all right, church, you know, we can't just stay in our pews and pray. We got to go. It's got to become personal for us. And we got to turn the light on in this dark place. The problem isn't darkness. The problem is the absence of light.
The absence of light. And hey, Justin, can I hold you through the break? And we can talk for a few more minutes in the last segment. All right, I'm going to put you on hold. We're talking to Justin Reeder, who's the founder of Love Life Charlotte. LoveLifeCharlotte.com. Today, it's all about activism, friends. And it's not just Justin. It's not just me. It's about you, too. What are you doing to engage the darkness with the light? We'll be right back.
What will make a man so bold? Make a woman lay her own life down. Only one thing. Jesus Christ, like a fire.
Man, that's a great song, isn't it? It's a great song. It's a great singer-songwriter. His name is Matt Papa. He'll be with us Friday night, only 2 days away now. Friday night for Called to Worship. It's our fourth annual at the Upper Room Church of God in Christ. I'm praying for 700-800 people. Last year we had like 450. It's grown every year. Praise God for that. It's really important for the ministry and financially for support. And for financial support, but we want you to be there anyway. This is all about the body of Christ coming together, the unity there. I've wanted to do it at Bishop Wooden's church for a while because it's a big black church. We've been at big white churches and stuff before, but man, I am all about the power, the unity of Jesus Christ and the body. Jesus himself said, they'll know your mind by the way you love one another. And listen, we don't have to have different cultures and stuff worshiping together all the time, but every once in a while, isn't it an awesome thing to do? So for no other reason, in a country that's divided, in a country that has so much hatred for its own, back and forth, and all that garbage, and all the darkness, and all the bad news, come out for a night of praise and worship, an incredible testimony from porn star to pastor. Yeah, and that's literal. And then my onstage interview with Bishop Wooden and Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest, it's going to be completely off the hook. We still have free tickets available. Just go to the website, C2A Today. C2A today.com. The letter C, the number two, the letter A as in called to action, C2A today.com. And just register, you get your tickets, and I will be tremendously blessed, freaked out blessed to see you on Friday night. So make sure you're there. I'm telling you, God just does a unique thing at Call to Worship, and you do not want to miss it. C2Atoday.com. One other thing I want to mention, and we'll jump back to Justin, who's joining us today to talk about an incredible ministry down in Charlotte. LoveLifeCharlotte.com is their website, by the way. So Oric is a new partner here on the show. Oric Vacuum Cleaners, which have been around since 1963, over 50 years now, and got into the kind of the residential market. They originally started helping people that were cleaning hotels and stuff who needed a lightweight solution. Talk about lightweight. So I just picked up a new Oric recently at a store here in Raleigh, North Carolina. OricCarolinas.com is the website. And this, it's called a magnesium, right? So they said it's lighter than a gallon of milk. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. So when I picked it up, I'm like, did you take the guts out of it? Does this thing even work? And it does. It's lighter than a gallon of milk. It's just ridiculous, and it works incredibly well. The other night, we were cleaning up underneath the bed. We've been able to go under tables because the thing will lay completely flat, like parallel to the ground, and go under there. They've got a great, if you're telling me, listen, here in North Carolina, the Truth Radio Network, you can get any vacuum repaired for only $19.99. That's $200 off the vacuum that I mentioned, and also five free tune-ups, and a 7-year warranty for the vacuum. So it's an incredible opportunity, a great product. They've been around since 1963. OricCarolinas.com. Let's jump back to our new friend, Justin Reeder from LoveLifeCharlotte.com. Again, Justin, thanks so much for being with us today.
Yeah, thanks, Steve, man. And that night of worship sounds awesome. Pastor
yeah,
Wood
dude. So, oh, my.
Partner. That's great, man.
It's totally off the hook. So if you don't have anything to do Friday, you should definitely make the drive.
Love to join you guys for that, man. Definitely going to look at my calendar on that.
Cool. That's awesome. Great. So back to Love Life Charlotte. So let's kind of recap and go through these four steps again. And then I want you to invite people and challenge us, because not everybody that's listening to us is in Charlotte. We have people in North Carolina. We have people in other states. But this is an issue that exists all over the country. We've buried 60 right. million dead children that we've, you know, paid to have murdered. It's an unbelievable Holocaust in our nation. And I think every good Christian sits there and goes, oh, yeah, this is terrible. But very few of us actually get involved.
Yeah, so we're giving people a very clear action step. And again, the four steps are hear, pray, go, and connect. And I was talking about that go piece. It's important for Christians to go out to the darkest place in our city. Let it become personal for them. And again, remembering that we carry King Jesus with us. And when light shows up, darkness has to leave. And we have seen that happen as this abortion clinic has been averaging around 50 abortions on Saturdays. And now that number has fallen to an average of more like around 20.
Praise God.
But not only that, the impact that it has in us, it lights a fire in our hearts. So that's the go piece. And then step four is connect. And that's where we say to our people, you know, you got to get beyond the prayer wall. Get connected to building this culture of love and life. And we started a mentor program. We have over 100 mentors in our program that are walking side by side with families that have chosen life at the abortion clinic. We have an orphan care ministry. We're encouraging people to care not only about the orphan in the womb, but the orphan outside of the womb. It's a huge part of building a culture of love and life in our city. Psalm 68:5 says, "A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows is God. In his holy dwelling, he takes the lonely and he sets them in families." And we just believe that God isn't calling us to build more orphanages. He's calling us to adopt more kids. And this is a huge part of building this culture of love and life. And we have several other connection opportunities, but those are two of them, where we're giving people real action steps to get involved.
Yeah.
And God used the story of Nehemiah to confirm this, these four steps to mobilize the church. You look at Nehemiah, he heard the tragic truth that was happening in Jerusalem. He had to hear about it first. His response was prayer and fasting. That's why we call our people to pray and to fast, get our hearts aligned with the Father's heart. But Nehemiah didn't stop there, Steve. He went to Jerusalem. He examined the walls personally for himself. We got to go. It's got to become real for us. We hear numbers all the time, and we've become numb to it. But Nehemiah stands in front of his people at the end of chapter 2, and he says, "You see the trouble we're in. Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates are burning with fire. Now come and let us rebuild the wall." We are saying to Charlotte and North Carolina, do you see the trouble we're in? Abortion is the leading cause of death in our city. We have the largest abortion clinic in the southeast in our backyard. It's time for us to rebuild the wall in our city. And chapter 3, we see a beautiful picture of unity take place.
That's right.
The rebuilding of the wall begins. And you see two words that are mentioned over 20 times. The two words are next to. The Levite stood next to the priest. The priest stood next to the merchant. Now, we're calling for the Baptists to stand next to the Presbyterians.
Amen.
The Presbyterians to stand next to the Pentecostals. Pentecostals to stand next to the non-denomination, because it's the united body of Christ that is breaking
that's
the stronghold
right.
of abortion in our city. So I want to invite everyone that's listening, come out. If you're in the area, come out on a Saturday for our prayer walk from 9 to 11 a.m. We're not there to yell or scream at anybody. We're there to pray and to believe for a supernatural shift in our
Amen.
City. And I also want to plug December the 2nd. That is our final prayer walk of this year. That's the culmination of our 40-week journey of hope. And we're going to have over 100 churches partner with us that day.
That's
and over
awesome.
7,000 people at the abortion clinic praying and crying out for a miracle in our city.
What day of the week
December
is it?
December the 2nd.
What day of the week
That's
is that?
Saturday.
Saturday. And then you're on Wednesdays as well. Is that correct?
Yeah, so Wednesday's our day for prayer and fasting. So all of our churches across the city that are partnering with us on this week, which we have 7 churches this week, are praying and fasting
awesome.
Today. And on Saturday is our prayer walks every week.
Okay, so let's do this, and because I got to get to one more thing before the show is over, Justin. But
but
let's do this. Let's schedule a Wednesday. I'm going to come down and join you guys for a time of prayer and fasting on a Wednesday, and then we'll do the show from there. And then on Saturday, I'll pre-record a show from that event on December 2nd, okay? And we'll start to partner as much as we can, because the largest share of my audience is in North Carolina. But people need to hear this and need to be inspired by this and challenged by this all over the country. So, Justin, you're welcome. It's so great to meet you and to have you on. This will be the first of many conversations, and I really want to do whatever I can to involve you. And also, I got to tell you about how God used Jeremiah to mess up my life too. So Nehemiah, the exact same verse is what started Call to Action. So we'll talk about that later. Justin Reeder, lovelifecharlotte.com. God bless you, brother. Thanks for sharing
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate you, brother.
You're welcome, man. We'll talk real soon. Let's jump over before we run out of time to another wild man, brother in Christ of mine, Stu Epperson Jr., the owner of Truth Radio Network right here in North Carolina. How are you, bro?
Steve, I'm great, man. I know that everyone's getting their witch costumes and all their cane all that for the 31st, but
we did talk about Halloween yesterday, but I don't think we were advocating for the witch outfits there.
It was a great show, and I was sitting there thinking, man, I got to remind everyone about what's happening on the 31st. Our powerful, you've been to a 30-year-old, 40-year-old, 50-year-old party. What about a 500-year birthday party? The very day. The 31st, Tuesday, is the day that Martin Luther nailed the 95 Theses, set the world on fire, the Reformation began. It's Reformation Day. We're having a lunch in the middle of the state. So all your listeners all over, even our wonderful friends down in Florida listening to us on the truth down there, they can, if they'd love to come to this lunch, it's just going to be a blessing to celebrate. Stephen Davies bringing a message, powerful message. There's a big Bible museum exhibit in this church, and people can check that out. Ancient manuscripts, and it's all the information is at truthnetwork.com.
And a free lunch, and you guys are giving some pretty awesome stuff away too. Tell me about the book, and then tell me about the piano.
Oh, my soul. Well, there's this guy having a giant piano, wants to bless pastors. So it's Pastor Appreciation Month. So you're going to have a chance to register to write a little nice note at this lunch, a little card by every place about why your music minister should get a brand new piano. It's a nice baby grand piano that is it's like very nice. And then this book, Erwin Luther's book, Rescuing the Gospel, which really is a powerful, simple treatment of what happened 500 years ago when people were being paid gold to snitch out their friends that owned copies of the Bible in their own language. People were being murdered, burned at the stake, heads cut off because they read the Bible, because they believed they could go straight to God and not have to go through an intermediary. Powerful stuff happened into our history. So this lunch will be a celebration of that, man. And I appreciate what you're doing on the radio, man, to lift up the Lord every day.
Of course, pal. It's a blessing and an honor and a privilege. And I thank God for you, because God used you to enable it in the first place and to keep it going. Give people the website one more time, buddy.
Truthnetwork.com. It's all there. Bring your pastor for Pastor Appreciation Month. We're going to love on those guys.
Amen. Truthnetwork.com. Next Tuesday, the big 500th anniversary, 500th birthday party of the Reformation, which affected everybody. God bless you, Stu. Thanks for calling in today. This has been another great day on Call to Action Radio. Tomorrow, Theology Thursday, one of my favorite Theology Thursdays, because we'll have Dr. Danny Akin, of course, the president of Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, who is just a deep well of biblical knowledge and wisdom and maturity. It's going to be awesome to have Danny with us tomorrow, so don't miss it. This is Steve Noble. It is Call to Action. And God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon.